We're so glad you're at the Lord's house this morning. We just welcome you into Barbie's Grove as we come to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Any that are in the parking lot, we welcome you as you listen in. And those that flip on their computers or iPads or whatever and listen to the website later, we're so glad that all of you are participating and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to be aware of His presence here. We want to leave here with His presence resting and abiding upon us. We want to leave here with the strengthened and encouraged by His presence. And we just pray that you do receive His blessing today. Let's pray. Fathers, we bow before you. So thankful that you're here through the Holy Spirit. You came with each one of us because you live in our hearts. And whether a person is sitting in this sanctuary or they're sitting in their vehicle or whether they're listening in their living room or den or whether they're looking at an iPad or a computer, Lord, you're still here. You're with us. And Lord, I thank you for the anointing and I thank you for the direction of the Spirit of God. I thank you for the leadership. I thank you for every blessing that you've given us. And Lord, today this is a time just to honor you. And so we just lift up Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Alrighty, good morning. It's going to be on the screen. If you prefer to hold your hymnal, It Is Well With My Soul. It's going to be on 410. We hope that it's all well with everyone's soul this morning. Let's stand and sing 1, 2, and 4. Jeff has it all fixed for us already.
Shall resound and the
I pray that it is well with your soul this morning. That if this should be the day, if before we finish this service, the trumpet would blow, that this building would be empty. Totally empty, because we'd all go to be with the Lord. The Bible says the dead in Christ rise first, so we know right out of the cemetery would go, and before they got rooftop, we'd be right behind them. And everybody would be ready to go. Truly, if it's not well with your soul, make it well. Remember this week, please take your bulletin home and look at it. And also, a lot of these things are in the newsletter as far as announcements. But Bible study on Wednesday at 6:30 as we continue to look at prayer. And then on Saturday, October the 9th, the benefit for Ronnie Louder. And cakes by October the 6th. So those of you that signed up for cakes, and if you need to talk to Jeff about anything about that, do that. Today is the last day for our North Carolina missions offering. We had about another $400 or so given today. So we're over $1,200. That's fantastic. And if you still give during the worship service.
The fund for the refugees,
Afghani?
Yeah, that looks really good too.
Okay. All right. Afghani relief is also today. It's sort of a one-day deal. We sent $1,000 from our benevolence fund and then giving you a chance to add to that. And so she said that was good. So you can also do that. Just drop it in the collection plate here before you go. And there's special envelopes for the North Carolina Mission offering. And just write on the little blue envelope, Afghani relief or refugees, and drop that in. And we appreciate that. And next Sunday, we've got a church conference this morning to elect members for the messengers of the Baptist Association. And then next week, building and grounds committee, and also do some work on the fellowship hall floor. So we'll have conference after the service today, and then again next Sunday. Have a thank you note from the Edwards family. Bless you for the little things you do in thoughtful ways. Bless you for the ways you've brightened up so many days. Bless you for your giving heart, as kind as it can be. Bless you in 1,000 ways for truly blessing me. Thank you for all the thoughts, prayers, phone calls, text messages, flowers, and food that we received. We're grateful for a loving church family in a time like this. Your expressions of love will always be remembered. The Shirley Edwards family. And we do continue to pray for them and each member of the family. Let me say one additional thing. I think many of you were here for the funeral, but some of you weren't. Tonda and Kathy hit 2 home runs with their duets. Yeah, but especially that second one, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. There was a holy hush, an awesome holy hush that just settled over the congregation while they sang that duet. It was very precious. And I thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. Thank you. any time. I'll give you 5 minutes of preaching time to do it. All right, prayer request. Do continue to pray for the Shirley Edwards family. All the COVID folks. Charles Hatley. Angela Frick. Leonard and Donna. Who else we need to remember in prayer? Okay, all right, pray for Rita. She has some outpatient surgery. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Now, Father, as we come before you this morning once again, we realize it's just a tremendous, tremendous privilege that we have, that as mere mortal human beings, we can come into the presence of Holy God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see us as righteous and holy and acceptable in Jesus. And Father, I lift up each of these that we mentioned. Rita, Angela, Leonard and Donna, Charles, Miss Shirley's family, Lord, each one's different, each one has special needs, but Lord, I thank you that you are ministering to them at just this moment. And Father, as we bow in your presence, we pray for our nation and our world. Lord, there's so much turmoil, so much hate, so much division. And so we pray, Father, that the Spirit of God would bring revival. Lord, we know that you've got revival and we want it and we ask for it. We ask for a move of God that will be like nothing that's happened since the days of Pentecost. And then, Lord, when that great move of God is over, we look for the trumpet. We listen for the shout. It says, come home, my children. Oh, Lord, in the meantime, may we love one another and may we love you. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ready to go, right? Ready to go? Okay, let's do it.
Y'all dismissed for Children's Church? Jeff, is it too late to show the video? I jumped ahead a little bit, and so Jeff's going to show a video for us right quick before I preach.
Within less than 2 miles, you have anywhere between 10 to 12 hotels that house transient homeless families, someone with unfortunate circumstances who may be a worker. They're already making low-income hourly wages, and the only thing that they can afford is the weekly hotel rate. Yes, you have a food line grocery store, but let's be honest. Most of the people who are living in the hotels, they are not able to really buy produce in food line. They're just trying to get some meat and some things that they can make in a hotel. When this program came about for the Farm to Families Food Box program, it was a blessing. It was a blessing beyond that you could ever think of. We have kids that are like, oh, they got grapes. They got apples. We even have people in the hotels. Yeah, they only have a microwave, but they're like, I can have squash and zucchini. Do you know what that means to someone right now, especially in this pandemic, who's lost their job, who don't know where to go, who don't know which way to turn to? You just don't know what you've done. You moved the needle from the pain in a person's stomach of starvation to where you have now filled them up. So not only do you get some love with food, you also are blessed with a spiritual and emotional word, and you also receive prayer. Come on, can't beat that.
Don't forget to come back and see us.
It's not about Baptist on Mission. It's not about Ebenezer. It is about you going out and doing what Jesus did and being the hands, the feet, and the love of Jesus Christ. We get to serve. And so right now, on that note, I get to serve. Me and my team get to serve. And you have over 200 people that will come through today to get served with the fresh produce boxes through the grant that Baptist on Missions put together. And they shared it with the community. So come on and go with me.
You know, that mission offering helps so many people in so many different ways. It's just incredible. And you're a part of it. And thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, this week has been one of those weeks. It's been a little struggle to know what to preach. Now, some weeks I know 2 or 3 weeks in advance, and then some weeks I know early in the week. And then this is one of those weeks it's just like, Lord, what do you want to say? And then I got to thinking about who's going to be sitting in the pews today? Who's going to be listening on the website? Who's going to be listening maybe in the parking lot? What's happening in our lives? What's going on? I started thinking, you know, there are people that are dealing with death, death of loved ones, death of special friends. There are people that are dealing with COVID, but other illnesses as well. A number of our church families have all kinds of ailments and frailties and injuries and other things. Then I got to thinking about, people are concerned. Shortages and food, and I saw in the news that some stores are starting to limit quantities again. And then, you know, folks are concerned about what the government's doing. The mandates. The control. The mixed signals we get. And do you wear a mask or you don't wear a mask? I was telling Lionel, talked with some folks, and their church had a real fuss over who's going to wear a mask and not wear a mask. And so they've issued a proclamation. All the people with masks going to sit on one side, all the people without masks going to sit on the other side. Now that church, just like we've got a wing back in the back, they've got two wings on the side. And so those two side wings have doors, outside doors. So if you come in the outside door on your side, you don't have to wear a mask. But if you come in this door, even if you're a masked, if you're going to take your mask off, you got to have it come in the door to sit over here on this side without the mask. And they decided, well, maybe that'll solve things in that particular church. But there's all kind of controversy. And, you know, people are just struggling. People are struggling, just tired, fatigued. Do I go here and do I wash my hands enough? And have I been around anybody? And you go into a doctor's office or a dentist and they said, have you been around anybody and this and this? And you got to check it all off and they rub the thermometer over your head to see if you're hot or cold or whatever. And just people just tired. Struggling. I thought, you know, that's the folks that's sitting in these pews. And then I thought about how it was when Jesus walked the earth. You think about it. Was Jesus not brokenhearted when his friend Lazarus died? Were not the sisters Mary and Martha troubled and sorrowful? Was Jesus not surrounded by sickness? How many times you read in the Gospels where it said, and they brought a great multitude to Jesus and healed them all. Now, I don't know what a multitude is. Whether I've heard some people say, well, it's probably 100, and then I've heard some people say it might have been 10,000. I don't know. You ever stop to think about something? All the food in Jesus' day was organic. There wasn't a bit of pesticides, commercial fertilizer. It was all organic. There wasn't any cars, jet planes, trains, or buses, or big trucks polluting the air. And yet there were multitudes that were sick. Now, the folks you know today that will say, boy, if we can just deal with the pollution and deal with the way folks grow things, we'd all be healthy. Don't think so. They weren't in Jesus' day. When everything was, quote, perfect, there were still a lot of sick folks. They had a constant scrambling to find enough to eat. We know that from what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Why do you worry about what you will eat or drink or wear? They had a struggle. They had a struggle with rules and regulations. And the common people got it from both directions. The scribes and the Pharisees said, you wash your hands this way and you don't walk this many steps on the Sabbath and you don't do this and you can't heal anybody on the Sabbath. Now you can go take your donkey out and water him, but you can't. You know, all kind of regulations from the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, and they gave the common people fits if they violated any of that stuff. And then they had the Roman government, who was giving them all kinds of rules and regulations and taxes. And you think about it, just being an ordinary citizen, you're walking down the road and a soldier comes by and he says, "Hey, buddy, here's my sack, my bag, my backpack. You carry it." You had to carry it a mile. It was a struggling time when Jesus walked the face of the earth. A little different, but much the same as the way you and I face. They had many of the same problems and struggles that we do. So I think if Jesus were standing here today, he'd say the same thing to us that he said to those folks 2,000 years ago. I think these are the same things Jesus would say if he went on national television in the United States today. Turn to Matthew 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. We deal with the reality of the world that we live in. There's no such thing as closing our eyes and pretending it didn't exist. You know, if I close my eyes, it's not real. No, we live in the reality of the world that now exists. And in Matthew 11, beginning at verse 28, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." In the Passion Translation, it says this: "Are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I will refresh your life, for I am your oasis. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You will find refreshment and rest in me, for all that I require of you will be pleasant, easy to bear." That's beautiful. Jesus goes to people that are hurting and struggling and questioning just like we are, and he says, "Come to me. Come to me." Now, there's a difference between coming to Jesus and coming to a religion. There are people that come to religion and find some relief or no relief. There are people that are very religious that still struggle and hurt and in pain. But Jesus said, "Come to me. Come to him." He's not a doctrine. He's not a church. He's not a belief system. But come to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what makes the difference. And he says, "When you come to me, you take my yoke upon you." In other words, he says, you come to Jesus with a personal relationship with him. And as we take his yoke, we are hooking up our life with his. And you know, that makes a difference. When I hook up my life with his, he does the heavy lifting. He does the heavy lifting. I'm told that sometimes when they used to yoke up oxen, they'd put the older and stronger and experienced oxen on one side, and then the newer, weaker, untrained oxen on the other side, and the stronger, experienced oxen would pull most of the load, and the weaker, newer oxen would just sort of go along for the ride. I mean, he was learning. And so Jesus says, you come to me and you take up my yoke. You join your life with mine. And as you join your life with mine, it's going to be okay. And Jesus said, I am meek and lowly in heart. How did the Passion put it? Easy to please. I'm humble. You know, Jesus loves you. He cares about you. I was talking with someone recently, and they said that thing that just bothers me. At first, they told me what was troubles that they were going through. And then they said, I just don't know why God gives me all of this. And I said, God didn't give it to you. The devil did. The devil and everything she had told me, I knew that the devil was behind it. Jesus said, you come to me. I'm meek. I'm lowly. I'm humble. I'm not out to get you. I'm out to bless you. I'm out to take care of you. I'm out to meet your needs. He's not out to add to your burden, but to relieve you of your burden. Those of us that grew up in the days of wood stoves, you know, and you had those sticks of wood, you'd go out to the wood pile and you put some in your arms and get about as many as you want. It sort of bothered you whenever your brother came along and said, hey, you can carry about 3 or 4 more. And you're going, about to drop them. How much better when your brother came and said, hey, let me take 2 or 3 of those, and you both didn't have as heavy a load. Any of you, I think a few of you remember that. Jesus isn't out to add to your burden. He's saying, let me take some of that. In fact, let me take it all and relieve you of the pain and the burden. To give you peace, to give you direction, to give you comfort, to give you strength. He says, you come unto me and I'll relieve you of a burden. And then he says, you shall find rest for your souls. Be able to sit down and rest and be at peace. You come in from a hard day's work and you sit down in your recliner or your favorite chair or you put yourself on the couch and stretch out a little bit. Rest. Jesus says, you come to me and you shall find rest. And there's that peace of rest in the middle of the storms. I think I can illustrate that two ways. One of the Cocker Spaniels we had for sure, and maybe both of them, scared of noise. One of them ran away one time on July the 4th whenever all the boom, 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 you know, people doing the firecrackers and all that other stuff. Scared. And so we learn if there's a thunderstorm or July the 4th or New Year's Eve, whenever all the noise, that dog's going to come get between us and the couch, or if we're in a recliner, he's going to get in my lap or her lap. Because that dog wanted comfort. That dog wanted to be with mom and daddy and feel safe. You parents, do you remember any days, maybe nights more especially than days, when a bad thunderstorm came up and all of a sudden you'd feel a little tug on your arm? Mama, Daddy, I'm scared. Can I get into bed with you? Maybe your kids didn't do it, but a lot of kids do. You say, sure, honey, come on. And that child climbs up between mom and daddy. And in a few minutes, it's peacefully asleep. Now the storm is still going outside, but because that child's with mom and daddy, the child's at rest, at peace, asleep. You see, Jesus is saying to the people that were living in a stormy world, you come to me and I'm going to take care of it. You come to me and you'll find the strength and the rest and the peace that you're not going to get with a pill. You're not going to get with a bottle. You're not going to get with something else. You only get it through me. How does Psalm 91 put it? They that dwell in the shadow of the Almighty shall rest at peace. There's peace and joy and strength and comfort in the presence of Jesus. Over in the Gospel of Luke, in the 11th chapter, the very first recorded message that Jesus preached. Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say to them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus saying, listen, as he's read from Isaiah, God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal people that are, whose hearts are broken, to deliver those who are captives, and you could be captive of sin, captive of bad habits, captive in a evil culture, captive in the sex trade, captives in a lot of ways, captives of ignorance, captives of false religion. He said, he sent me to deliver those who are captive. The recovering of sight to the blind. People can be blind physically, and we know that Jesus healed a number of those. But people can be blind spiritually. And oh, how, what a blessing it is when Jesus delivers somebody's blind spiritually. To set free those that have been bruised and broken by life. And to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, saying, Lord, God accepts you. God loves you. God wants you to be saved and to go to heaven and have eternal life forever. God's not in heaven trying to get you. God is saying, I accept you. I want you. I love you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, what a joy it is to know that we are accepted in the Lord. You know, each of us are different. And you know the storms of life that you face. You know what's going on in your home. What's going on in your extended family. What's going on perhaps where you work. You know the pain and the struggle that's going on around you. And if each one of us were to stand and talk, it'd be a little different for every one of us. But this morning, I think Jesus would make the same offer to you that he made 2,000 years ago. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and you'll find rest for your souls. Beautiful, beautiful promise. Beautiful invitation. And as you struggle in what's going on in your life, bring it to Jesus. You know the song, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Just pretend you're climbing up into the presence of the Lord. And know the peace that a little puppy dog would have next to mom and dad, that a child would have next to mom and dad. Take it to the Lord. He's welcoming you. He's wanting you. He's loving you to come into his presence. Let's pray. I don't know what you're struggling with today, what burden you might be carrying, what fears or frustrations, questions. Maybe you're thinking, does anybody care? Jesus cares. The old spiritual, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Jesus knows what you're struggling with. Would you today come unto him? I'm not asking you about coming to a church or a doctrine or belief, but to the personal, living Lord Jesus. And I'm so glad that he's such a great God that and Savior that any one of us can come to him and all of us can come to him and he can take care of every need. If there's one that's never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, would you do that? Just proclaim, today I believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that he's my Savior, the Son of God, and I confess him as my Lord and my Savior. I give my life to him, and I invite him to come and live in me. And if you'll do that, you'll be saved. If you've wandered away from the Lord, you can come back to him. And I pray that you'll do that. And then for all of us, most of us will say, I'm fatigued, I'm tired. Let's just crawl up in the lap of the Lord Jesus like a little child and let him love on us for a little while. And we know that even in the midst of the storm, we're safe, secure, cared for and loved. Father, I'm so glad for the loving invitation that you give us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you're not angry with us, but that you love us. may we feel that love. I speak the love of Jesus over every person that's listening to me, whether in the congregation, in the parking lot, or on the web. I speak the love of Jesus upon them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.